Hey, yo, welcome back to the High Kicks podcast. We have been away for a minute. This isn't really the start of season five, and it's not really season four. Carl tried to clap. His mic didn't pick it up.
Fucker. Finger guns as always.
So we got a special guest with us tonight. He's one of our best friends from college. I would describe him as a lovable idiot who knows his way around a newsroom, who really knows his shit about sports. We're joined by our good friend Sam Shapiro.
What's going on, fellas? Thank you so much for having me, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, Sam and I have taken multiple like media TV production classes together. We have done like mock newscasts and mock productions together. This is the first time we're like actually doing something kind of actually
Sam
legit.
Was my neighbor. Me and Sam lived right next to each other, and for a period of time we didn't talk at all, and then we hung out every single day,
and now we're all here collaborated.
We brought Sam onto the show because Sam does a little bit of media work down in South Carolina, and he had the dope opportunity to kind of cover a fan experience of the Manchester United Liverpool game down there. And I just want to hear what that was like, because it sounds like it was awesome. I mean, you got to go watch Liverpool and United for work.
I'm jealous as fuck to begin with, because I've never seen either of them live. Brian's seen fucking Liverpool live. And
I was at Liverpool Arsenal like 2 weeks ago.
I know, I hate you
A week ago.
And then goddamn Sam over here, who literally doesn't give a fuck about anything, literally gets to see like my favorite side. So please speak on it.
So it's interesting because I feel like watching the games, especially like on TV or like on Instagram on clips, like you see like literal, like just a sea of people watching these games that are like obsessed. And it's so different from like, you know, the NFL or like the NHL, where like, you know, they're also grossing, you know, a high audience of people. But like when I say like it was a fan experience, like, it was almost kind of, I don't want to say they were like worshiping a cult, but it was like,
that's what
you can say they were worshiping a cult. It's very,
it was,
it's
like
culty.
Huge mass of people just in waves. And they were like, I mean, they were either like diehard Liverpool or diehard Man U.
Did they play the fight songs for both clubs before the match?
Yeah, they did like, all the Liverpool people were like, "You'll never walk alone."
Yeah.
And then, Man U was like, "United we stand."
When I was at the Liverpool Arsenal match, they played both fight songs and the stadium erupted with people singing. I think it's fair to call it a little bit culty. I don't really kind of care if that offends some kind of people. I think Carl can speak to this. We're both fans of multiple different sports teams, kind of whatever.
Yeah.
There is no greater sports passion or like club I feel like I support for or kind of whatever, just as devoted of a fan to than Liverpool.
Like, yeah. And I feel the exact same way for Manchester United. It's sort of like I chose that side like from like a young age because of like certain factors, like my cousin and watching Wayne Rooney. And it's just sort of like you stick with it. Like it has not been a fun decade. And
so you guys kind of grew up more like fans of the game instead of like, you know, necessarily growing up like following one club necessarily, or
I mean,
I grew up following one club.
And yeah, I've been a Liverpool fan since I was eight.
It just sort of happened where I started enjoying more clubs seeing them play against Man U. Like, I saw Bayern Munich play Manchester United, and one of my favorite players ever ended up being Arjen Robben. Like, bar none, Frank Ribery, Arjen Robben are some of my favorite players ever.
And isn't your favorite player ever Bale?
Some of my favorite players ever. Bale is number one, but Arjen Robben. No,
but that's what I mean. Like, your love of the game transcends just United.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Like,
but like Sam, for me, they slapped a jersey on me when I was 8 for YMCA soccer and were like, your team is Liverpool. So I became a Liverpool fan. Through my development as a player, though, I learned a lot more of game. Like, my favorite player ever is not a Liverpool player. It's Costa Rican goalkeeper Keylor Navas. Mm-hmm. I look at the entire game from like a goalie perspective, no matter how I'm watching, no matter what angle I'm looking at. There's no game that I watch that I understand more, but I just, the whole like love for your club is very culty, and like I can get behind that. Like, I have a Liverpool scarf hanging behind me. I have a You Never Walk Alone flag hanging next to me. I just got golf clubs, and I bought a Liverpool towel, Liverpool divot tool, and 2 Liverpool head covers for my clubs. Yeah, like, I'm a Colts fan, but I'm not doing that shit for the Indianapolis Colts.
It was just like masses of like people, like all packed in the stadium. Like, it was so cool. And then they were like shooting off the fireworks and stuff when the game started. And obviously I did like a bunch of cool interviews and like,
yeah, what were the people saying? That's kind of what I'm really interested in hearing about.
So one dude that I spoke to that was from like from England, he or like England area, but he was just like, he had been a Man U fan since he was 6, and he was just like, the fact that this is like here is fantastic, because when I first moved here, like in 98, like, you could there were barely any games on TV. Like, I remember like the last couple of years, you guys telling me like, oh yeah, I could just turn on like the TV at like 9 o'clock in the morning and watch the game. But like, I'd imagine like 10, 15 years ago, you probably can't do that. So if you're not there, like, it was probably a lot harder to keep up with it and follow it.
The game has grown tremendously.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And like, this game being here was like so historic for the sport, because like, I feel like MLS and like a lot of the American soccer is very like, you can't even compare. Yeah, you can't even compare. And it's just like, if it takes like even just having the third strings like come and play in a college stadium like in America for a weekend, like, they are literally people from Chicago like that I spoke to. Obviously there were a bunch of people like from the UK and like just from all over.
I mean, I drove to Philly. I drove 2.5 hours to Philadelphia.
Yeah, like people, it was just like thousands of people.
No, it really gathers people. Like, that's one of the biggest things about footy, that like, you can sort of relate it to a cult because of the following that it sort of has behind it. Like,
yeah, in a positive way. In a positive
exactly,
way.
Exactly.
Like, you live and die by your club.
You, at certain times, it can become a little beyond positive. I was going to say,
it wasn't crazy like if you walked on the wrong side of the street.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
They weren't going to like, you know, start a fight. But
exactly.
There's a good level of respect to it.
Yes.
I mean, not always. There are instances where clubs do. But
there's
riots.
There's stuff like that. But that happens in multiple sports. It's just because.
But I also think what Sam is somewhat missing to this experience is that it. And I feel this about whenever I've seen Liverpool play, like in the US, I don't view it as like a genuine, true to experience fan experience. Because
obviously
you're with like foreign Liverpool fans per se.
It's also not where it's like, it's not the place.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah, that's what he means.
You can only replicate that so much.
You can't. I mean, I don't. I know you don't know too much about like footy, Sam, but when it comes to like stadium atmosphere for a big match, Liverpool Stadium is like, for Liverpool, it's famous, and for other clubs who travel to it, it is infamous.
No, but the reason I wanted to talk to you about covering this on your podcast was because that game in itself was like when you go to the ice cream store and they give you the little tasty scoops like on the stick. Yeah. That was kind of just a taste of trying to replicate that true experience, because you're really only going to get that in like, you know, in Europe and like where the, you know, where in foreign territory.
Yeah,
exactly.
In Liverpool, in this case, in Liverpool or Manchester.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the craziest part about it is that fucking, even though, like what Sam's saying, even though it's not an exact replica of what the derby would have been like,
it's not a derby, Carl.
I know. But in my opinion,
it's just a fierce rivalry, and it's treated kind of like a derby, but it's not a derby because derbies are location.
Yeah, I know, but it's one of the biggest rivalries in the entire sport. Yeah. It's just you get to see it within the States to a degree to sort of get a glimpse of the way that the culture is. It's sort of a glimpse.
You get a taste of it.
Yeah, like Sam put it the perfect way, because it's not like there's. Like what you're saying, Brian, like you can't replicate like the yellow wall in Dortmund. You can't replicate
It's not the whole ice cream cone. It's just the taste.
Exactly. Like there's no way to replicate these European stadiums, because every single fan within there is there for one purpose: to enjoy and to like just be there for the game no matter what.
I think the closest thing I can think of is like a Seahawks game. They've made earthquakes coming out of their stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, true.
They have the 12th
fan. But it still doesn't compare. So, Sam, I do want to ask you. When I was at the Arsenal-Liverpool game, there were a lot of people that were there basically just to see Mo Salah. Like, did you notice that kind of same experience? Like, were there a fair amount of Egyptian descendant people in the stadium who were just there for Mo?
Everybody was there for like a very specific different like reason. Like, I met some kid who drove 12 hours from Chicago because he wanted to meet he wanted Rashford's jersey.
Okay.
Like, he literally had a sign. He was like, I want to meet Rashford. So I have no idea. But case in point, I didn't meet anybody specifically that said they wanted to meet that player, but everybody was there. I feel like everybody had a mission. Most of the people that were going like had a mission, unless it was like, you know, somebody that was like a toddler or a child or like family. Some people were just going to have fun and enjoy the experience, but I think I would say it looked like 60 to 80,000 people were there. Also, hold on. There's literally a bug on my floor and I'm going to kill it. That's disgusting. Oh, God damn it. It fucking ran away.
I really want to leave this in.
Please do.
Oh, that's so annoying. Where the fuck did that go, bro?
Sam, forget about the fucking bug. We're recording a goddamn podcast.
Sorry. Anyway, it was like a big ass roach, and it was like literally walking out into the middle of the
room. I don't care about the bug. Get back to the.
Anyway, where do you want to start from?
I don't even know what you were talking about.
I'm dead. I have no clue what you're talking about besides, you know, there was There was a big ass roach that walked in the middle.
I was talking about the kid who had the sign with Rashford and how there were a bunch of different people. That kind of had a. I was saying how everybody kind of went into the day with their own mission, but like some people's missions were to also just go and like have a good time.
Dude, I'm jealous that you literally got paid to go to a game.
Bro, I'm cool. Crying because he had a fucking bug on his floor. God damn, that was funny as shit. Oh my god. But yeah, no, fuck you, Sam. I wish you enjoyed the sport more in terms of everything. Like, it's yeah, not that's
what gets me. Like,
yeah,
I know your job lets you do cool things, but like, you're not a footy fan. I'm jealous, is what I'm trying to say.
That's just
I literally saw Liverpool play like a week ago.
I mean, it was cool being like in the press box and stuff.
That's even cooler.
That's sick.
That was even cooler.
I had a picture of it on my story.
So, as a young reporter, where does this rank in cool experiences that you've done?
Oof. Definitely like top three.
Is number one when you interviewed the marathoner?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Is number Medica two the championship?
Number two is definitely this.
But
it's definitely not this.
No, it's the championship.
No, I'm trying to think. It was the NASCAR stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
NASCAR.
I got to interview Sam Mayer in Victory Lane.
That's sick.
Yeah, wait. What about the natty?
What natty?
Oh, I also did get to film highlights of Michigan Cornell for lacrosse.
Oh, that's sick.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that was fun. That game ended up being really close, too. I think
I want to hear more about what the people said in the stadium that you talked to.
In terms of like
in
the types of people that you interacted with, like what they said about being there.
A lot of people were just excited that there was like soccer in America. Like, I feel like a lot of people were that I also spoke to were like kind of from there and were just like, oh, we saw this was like kind of here. Like, it sold out really quick.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting experience. Like, they had tents where like people could get merch and stuff. And, it was interesting that it was like, I don't know. There was not really anybody that I spoke to that was like particularly funny.
Ah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. But I mean, the one dude that I interviewed that like was from England, he was funny though.
All right. I think we should ask Sam a legitimate footy question and see what he says. All right. What do you think?
Build your all-time starting 11 with
no,
a 4-3-3
no, no,
formation.
No,
I'm kidding.
No.
I'm kidding.
I was like,
one, Messi or Ronaldo.
I mean, I like Messi, but
cool.
Okay, cool.
We like that. We like that. By the way,
you can you can respect both, but Messi's better.
Yeah, I like Messi.
Two. What do you think of Julian Alvarez going to Atletico Madrid from Manchester City? Good or bad? Just say good. I know you have no clue who he is. Just say good or bad on the transfer. Yeah, sure. But just say good.
Wait, no, don't look it up yet. I also want you to guess how much money the transfer cost.
He's not going to guess that.
I just want to see, like, so Julian Alvarez is a very young, talented player.
He's won a World Cup. Like, he's won a Premier League.
He's won everything there is to win, and he just changed clubs. And I want to know how much you think his new club paid to sign him.
Definitely three-figure millions.
Not quite.
Slightly less. Below.
95 million.
Yeah.
There you go. Over 4 years.
That's not bad.
No.
He's getting like a max.
Wait, what do you mean over 4 years?
Wait, no, it was just a $95 million transfer.
Yeah, it's a $95 million transfer. 4 years. I mean, it might be a 4 year payment plan. I don't know.
I saw something regarding 4 years with it.
So Sam, I have one final question for you. I have one final question for you.
Yes.
If you were to be put on a field to play a match of footy, what position would you play?
Definitely striker.
I could definitely see that. I think that's all we got for the show. I want to thank Sam for joining us. This has been a long time coming, and I'm glad that we're finally back. Premier League comes back really soon.
I'm just really hoping Chad no more soon. Bugs are on the podcast, because my God, that was wild.
We'll catch you guys soon. Peace.
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 You are funny as fuck, Sam.